Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Not there yet, but coming up on 2 weeks, it's government shutdown. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and welcome fifth-generation Montanan. Senator Steve Daines joins us here as we catch an update on that and other things to talk about. Senator, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Good morning to you as well.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. How are things? I mean, you got the government shut down, and so how are things?
Well, you know, it's frustrating because this is all political theater, Tom, and political theater is causing hardship for many Montanans and for many Americans. I haven't seen political theater like this since Hamilton. I mean, this is it's ridiculous what Chuck Schumer truly has done. We need five Democrat senators to join the three Democrats that joined us to allow a funding bridge to November 21st to allow time to negotiate the final appropriation packages and move through what they call regular order, like was done 13 times during the Biden administration. But this time, Chuck Schumer's decided to be held captive by the radical far left. That's exactly what's happening. You think about what happened just last March when we had to approve what they call a clean CR. That's a continuing resolution that funds the government. And he voted for it then, but as you know, the radical left loonies of the Democrat base came after him. And this time he's scared to death for his political future. And sadly, the American people will suffer the consequences of that. If he could just allow five senators, Democrats, to join the three that voted with us last night, we get this opened up again. But here's the other part that's going on, Tom, that's not being reported. Tom Cotton and I, Senator Cotton of Arkansas, a very close friend of mine, we were chatting last night. Tom's been on TV here this morning about this nationwide October 18th No Kings protest that the lefties are going to have coast to coast in our nation. Best I can tell, the Democrats want to keep, the far lefties want to keep the government shut down through October 18th to allow this massive anti-Trump protest to occur. This is not a good thing for our country. And when you start seeing air traffic controllers, you know, FAA employees, TSA employees, American troops, other critical federal employees now who are not getting their paychecks, who may not be coming to work. This is not a good thing for our country, Tom. And in a time we should be working to take the temperature down, the lefties are going to take the temperature up.
Well, and the veil is off. I mean, I think there's been a lot of discussion, and even the mainstream media is picking up on the misinformation that they're reporting from Chuck Schumer's mouth regarding this, you know, what they really want here. In my mind, Senator, people are on to that. The veil is off. How long can they keep this up?
That's a good question, and I hope this fever breaks sooner versus later. What will cause this fever to break is pressure from the American people to go after the left and after the Democrats and say, this is nonsense. Enough is enough. President Trump does not want to shut down. Speaker Johnson does not want to shut down. Leader Thune doesn't want to shut down. Republicans do not want to shut the government down. We want to continue to work on reforms, spending reforms, but we don't want to see the government shut down. And this is where we're at this moment. And sadly, Schumer has hijacked the Democrat senators, and we just need five brave Democrats to join us to break away from the grips of the radical left, who right now have got Chuck Schumer held hostage.
Yeah, and who is that? I mean, I know there's only 50 senators, so to speak, so you've got your eye on people who might be willing to end this. And what you're talking about, too, is you need 60 votes to end the cloture, which would make it filibuster-proof, so to speak. So that's right. What you're looking for. Who's cracking, or who's going to move.
Well, you've got, you know, I don't want to speak out of school here for some Democrats who are having quiet conversations, but I'm just saying what the public, what's been reported publicly. You've got senators like Gene Shaheen. You've got Gary Peters, with Shaheen's from New Hampshire, Peters from Michigan. You've got appropriators, those who really are charged with putting these spending bills together. They want, these Democrats quietly want to see us return back to what they call regular order and not go through this this craziness of the shutdown. So the five or six are out there. The question is, will they buck Schumer and join us and do the right thing?
Montana Senator Steve Daines is with us here as we're going to pick up on a couple other topics here, too. And this one is a little bit disturbing. It has to do, in my mind, with political violence that is not even being reported in a lot of ways. Now, we're understanding with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the horrible, tragic political violence. But there's acts of political violence that's committed in a lot of ways in our country, whether you're kicking down somebody's sign or whatever. What's the discussion there in Washington, D.C., about the seemingly increasing rate of lawlessness and political violence?
Yeah, well, certainly this came to a terrible head on September 10th with Charlie's assassination. I was very close to Charlie Kirk, and I wish I could be there tonight at that Turning Point USA rally in my hometown of Bozeman and my alma mater, Montana State. I'm thrilled to see Vivek Ramaswamy will be there. I know Vivek well, and Governor Gianforte. I'd have been speaking there tonight as well, but I'm here in D.C. One thing about the assassin's death, his life ended on September 10th. In terms of figuratively speaking, his life has ended. He's going to be in prison the rest of his life. I hope they seek capital charges and capital punishment, but his life is over. Charlie Kirk's martyrdom has just further mobilized a movement. So Charlie's legacy has just probably tripled, quadrupled, maybe an order of magnitude increased in size, as we saw in that memorial service in Arizona. And so that's the only good thing I see coming out of a horrible, horrible situation. But let's remember that words are not violence. The left wants to associate words with violence. It's not. We need to have free speech. Charlie Kirk was doing this on university campuses, which should be the petri dish of debating ideas for the nation, and instead he lost his life. I'm very concerned about the increase in violence we're seeing, more from the left in terms of taking violent acts. And it's been reported many times after Charlie's death, what you saw were prayer vigils, you saw somber remembrances, and you contrast that to when George Floyd lost his life, or if somebody from the left would have lost their life, you'd see as massive riots typically and destruction. And so you see a lot about philosophies and the contrast by how people react to some of these tragedies that have occurred in our nation. And I am concerned, Tom, about the ideology of the left and what they are taking this country to in terms of actually more violence.
Well, and it's so counter to, as you described, what Charlie Kirk stood for. I want to ask you about how that message, it's kind of like my thought about the veil is off. We're understanding things, and people like Charlie Kirk made a big difference in helping us bring common sense and apply those to conservative principles, really. Where is that movement? I mean, I don't know what I'm asking here. Where's that movement? Is it grounded in something that can move?
Absolutely. And look, you think about the battle hymn of the Republic, the refrain, "His truth is marching on." Tom, this is a battle for truth, a veritas. What is true and what is not? Basic facts and truths of we were created as male and female. As Charlie Kirk so eloquently summarized about, you know, he says, get married, have kids, pursue the eternal. And I think what I've also was struck by Charlie Kirk, and you saw this in the deepening of his faith over there. And I saw this, I've known Charlie for a long time. In fact, I went back and looked at some of my more recent text messages with him, just very touching. Charlie and I would communicate back when I was running all the Senate races in the nation, and Charlie and I were engaged frequently. But one thing that I see with Charlie, he had a deepening in his faith, and his faith was important in establishing his worldview, and of course his worldview then defined his politics. I thought one of the poignant speakers at Charlie's memorial service was Dr. Larry Arn from Hillsdale. I know Larry very well. If you remember, he said that Charlie took 31 different online courses from Hillsdale, deepening his intellectual capabilities that are all grounded in faith and natural law. And these are foundational, fundamental principles our nation was founded upon, that our founding fathers, of course, put together that, in many ways, God-inspired document called the Constitution. This was not done in a vacuum. These were leaders who had solid faiths and worldviews, you know, grounded in the classics. And what Charlie brought, I think, to the discourse on our university campuses was back to that the foundations of faith and the classics, and using that as foundations for reason against those, frankly, who had ideas that that aren't true. And I'm grateful for what he did and is doing now through his death, because I think you're seeing a launch of a mobilization, particularly with young people, not unlike what happened, I know, when I was in college at Montana State and in high school. Ronald Reagan was instrumental in launching a lot of young people into the conservative movement. He did for me. I think Charlie now is creating that same kind of movement amongst young people, and that's a really good thing for our country.
Yeah, it really is. And boy, I know we miss him already in a ton of ways too. But you know, the morality, the ideals that he stands for, I mean, they lived on before him. They'll live on after him, but they live on with a new kick in the spirit, in my mind, because of folks like Charlie. And so I hope that continues. I don't have enough time, Senator. Maybe we'll pick up the Palestinian conflict at some other time. I really appreciate the work you're doing. And I guess I'm mixed. Do I really want the government open? Yes, we'll get it open again, I'm sure. Thank you, Senator. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to see those troops paid.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Tom.
Thank you for public service. Appreciate that.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.